Well, Anna and I went to New Hampshire on Friday. There was a birthday party supposed to happen on Saturday, but we didn't want to be out on the road then, so we brought a party with us. It was the, I think it would be the fifth, third birthday party, you know, third age three birthday party we've been to in the last 4 years. Very busy, these daughters of mine. And so Anna went and found, for $4 or $5 a piece, 5 little lightsabers, which of course everyone needs. And they were pretty cool. You turn them on and they make a sound, and the color comes on. It's either red or green. And then when you move it, got hours of fun with this. We passed them out to our little grandkids, and they just ran around the house for literally hours, wailing the tar out of each other and us as they went by. But we got birthday gifts for all. Little ones really can't deal with not getting a present, even though the birthday party is not particularly for them. And so we make sure that everyone gets something. And eventually, now the oldest one has already told us, you don't have to bring me something when it's not my birthday. And then the sentence sort of trails off, and she doesn't really finish what she's thinking, but I still like it anyway. And she does, and we all do. And we never had to do that, but of course we wanted to. We derived great joy from that. And this is an important principle for us. We can come to feel that God's gifts to us are His obligation to us, and that somehow we deserve them. There's a lot of that in our culture. How many of you have heard on the television or somewhere else, "Well, you deserve that"? It's very big now. And it really doesn't help people grow up much, I think. It doesn't help them understand what gifts really are. So I want to take a minute and just kind of walk back through the portion of Jonah that we just read. And this idea, you see, God did something for the Ninevites. And it says, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He became angry because somebody else got a present besides him, even though God still gave him some presents. So, first of all, the fact that they're having this conversation is important. You see, where Jonah is, he's having a conversation with God. Before, he was drowning in the ocean when he disobeyed. So when you obey, when you do what God asks you to do, and you're in relationship with Him, you're walking with Him, you have the right to disagree with God. God, I don't like this. This bothers me. Why isn't this happening, or why is that happening? Now, if you take it on yourself to disagree with God, I wouldn't bet on being right. I spent a 10-year portion of my life in an argument with God, and I had to walk away from it. I had to walk away from it and say, God is great, and I can't get what I want. I can't get the past back. I can't change what I want to change. And God made it clear to me at the end of that time of our argument that, in fact, He had given me very great gifts, and I had to live with those and appreciate those, and I could not have the other things that I wanted. And so, when we are obedient to Him, and when we are in conversation, and I say conversation like sometimes we got each other by the lapels conversation, He still loves us. He loves you and listens to you, even if you're having a hard time with the way things are going. And so Jonah was angry, and his argument was something. Isn't this what I said, Lord? You know, this is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew you were going to do this. You are gracious and compassionate. He's quoting here another prophet, actually. Joel, I think. You're a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. That's a good thing, right? Well, not if it, you know, it just ruins my present when you give the same thing to someone else. Is that what happens? Can we be like that sometimes? Oh, well, this isn't going to be good for me unless I can get something better than you. Jonah had plenty of better stuff than the Ninevites. He was a prophet of God. He had the word of God. He lived in the people of God. They had a promise. They were part of a, you know, at this point, centuries, many centuries long tradition. Those guys. I don't like those guys. The Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" So you feel strongly about your life and what happens to you in your life. I feel strongly. I get really hacked off about some things. I paid my taxes. I'm a good citizen. I served in the military. I did this, I did that. Bop-a-da-boop-a-da-boop. Why does somebody else just get stuff for free? That isn't what I've learned from my Lord, though. That's not how he works. Is it right for you to be angry? And that's a good question. And God sort of leaves the question there. And then Jonah goes on. Let me back that up. There we go. I'll get this right. There. So God does a little test for him. God appoints. You remember, he appointed some things. He appointed the fish to pick up Jonah. He appointed the fish to vomit Jonah up. So now he appoints a plant. I'll provide for Jonah. So he wakes up in the morning. This is a hot place. Those of us, those in the military who have served in this part of the world know how intense the heat gets there. It's nasty hot. It's like literally being in an oven. It's dry, and it is just oppressive. And so the Lord provided a leafy plant, and then Jonah's happy about the plant, but what is Jonah doing? He's sitting, waiting for the 40 days to go by, because he's hoping God will change his mind and whack these guys. What should he be doing? This is outside the text, but it's sort of hanging there. He should be going home, right? You did what you were told. Thank you. Now go home to your people, your home. No, I don't like this. I don't like this one bit. I'm going to stay here. I want you to whack them, just like you did Sodom. But they're not acting like Sodom. They repented. I don't care. I don't like them. So God appointed a worm the next morning. And before the sun even comes up, worm's working at this thing. And by the time the sun comes up, the plant is dead. Well, Jonah's built himself a little shelter, but the plant was covering the shelter, apparently. And it's hot. It's miserable hot. And God reasons with him. Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? Yes, it's right for me. I deserve that plant. Jonah. I think it's great that the book just ends the way it ends. It ends with God's question. should I not have concern? You were worried about a plant. You were happy about it when you had it, and you were angry about it when you lost it. And you could care less about these people of Nineveh. And so it just ends with this question. Should I not have concern for these people who don't know their right hand from their left? Well, now the second passage, kind of the gospel really picks up the themes from Jonah and talks about them quite a bit. Jesus talked about these themes a lot, and that's where I'd like to settle for the rest of the message time this morning. We think that we have to look out for God's interests. People aren't being respectful. People aren't doing this. People aren't doing this. Blah, blah, blah. God will take care of himself. I need to be respectful towards God. I need to be a person who's showing what it looks like to be in relationship with God. But in this passage in Matthew, you know, and I talk about this passage a lot because I think it's really critical. I think this is the place where Peter came crashing, his misunderstanding of who God really is and what Jesus is up to crashed right there at that point. You know, they'd been talking about these swords at the Passover Seder they were having. You know, Jesus said, well, you remember I sent you out without swords? Fine, this time bring a sword, you know, bring a coat, bring all the stuff you need because it's a long time. I'm going away and the Holy Spirit will be with you. It's not a training exercise anymore. And so they get to the garden and they've got their swords and this happens. This Judas Iscariot betrays the Lord and they're in trouble and he's arrested. And Peter draws his sword and hits the high priest's servant. And Jesus tells him, stop. This is not what we're doing. I mean, Peter had sworn, I will never let them do this to you, Lord. And that's when Jesus had said to him, get out of my way, Satan. Don't oppose the things that God is doing. So put your sword back in its place, for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Don't you think that God's in control here? Don't you think that I could call down legions of angels? And the question in Peter's mind, the question in Jonah's mind, the question in so many other people's minds, when God is gracious, God, how can you let yourself look so foolish? How can you let yourself appear so weak? To us, he seems to be doing that, just that. And it bothers us. Did Jonah have the right to complain? He did not have the right to complain. So before you complain, take note of the gifts that have been given to you. If Jonah had done a quick little inventory, he would have remembered that, oh yes, God trusted me as a prophet. That's not nothing. That's really something. And more particularly, even after I had been a real jerk and ran away from him to get away from doing his will, he sent me salvation by a fish instead of letting me drown out in the ocean. And he gave me a second chance. He didn't have to do that either. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, a second time. He doesn't always do that a second time. Those are all gifts. Stacked up like Christmas presents. And he got the shade plant for a whole day. And did God owe any of that to him? No, none of it. And God just did it. Why? Because he loved Jonah. That's why. It wasn't about how Jonah was acting. It was about, you're my child, you're my servant. I love you, just like you feel about your kids. Your grandkids. What God did to that plant, that's what Jonah wanted God to do to Nineveh. Just destroy it. Jonah didn't deserve his gifts, and neither did the Ninevites, But at least the Ninevites understood that. We should get destroyed for what we did. We get that. So we're repenting. Jonah didn't get that. I've been a good person. God wasn't impressed. God has the right to give both of them what he wishes to give them. So, again, is God ever obligated to give gifts? No, he's not. And if, you know, do I deserve the gifts I receive? And the answer is no. And if you say, I deserve the gifts I get, then it's not really a gift. Okay, that's an important principle. If I deserve something, then it's not a gift. Romans chapter 4 says this, in verse 4, now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as an obligation. If you do work for someone under a contract, they owe you your wages. But he goes on to say, however, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. Gifts are not owed. Jonah was grieved about the loss of the plant, but he didn't care about the fact that God was grieved for the Ninevites. I don't care how God feels about them. I don't like them. So, let's expand out beyond Jonah a little bit. The prophet Jeremiah experienced some of this too. In chapter 20 and verse 7 of Jeremiah, he says, "You deceived me, Lord. You deceived me and I was deceived. You overpowered me. You prevail. You talked me into this," in other words. "And now I am ridiculed all day long. Everybody mocks me because I tell your truth." He goes on, "Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance on them." Now he had good reason to be angry at his enemies. I mean, they threw him in a cistern and left him there to die. Somebody else saved him. "Let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have committed my cause. I followed you, I obeyed you, and now I look foolish." He goes on, "Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Cursed be the man who brought my father the news, who made him very glad, saying, 'A child is born to you, a son.' Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame?" That's Jeremiah. Jesus knows this about us too. He knows this thing in us. He experienced it from other people himself. In Luke 15, we get this character, the older brother, the prodigal son. A man had two sons, and his youngest son said, "Dad, I want you to give me my inheritance because I want to go out on my own now." So he took his inheritance out, and he just spent it on debauchery, wild living, and he came to nothing. He was feeding pigs, which was a horrible thing for him to have to do as a Jewish person. And he said, "I would like to have the food that I'm feeding these pigs. I'll go back to my dad. And I won't be his son, but I'll be his servant." And so the dad watched for him every day, hoping he would come back. And finally he saw out in the distance his son coming back, not dressed in his fine clothes anymore. And the father ran. He ran to the son and he threw his arms around him. He got him a robe, got him a ring, and gave him the status of son back again. And the son said, "I don't deserve this." "No, you don't. But you're my son and I love you." And that's the point. But this man's older brother really got frosted about this. Let's pick up the text at verse 28 in Luke 15. The older brother became angry and refused to go into the party they were having. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. Make a feast, a barbecue. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf." And the father says, "My son, you were always with me, and everything I now have is yours. But we had to celebrate and to be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and is found." He doesn't deserve to be called a son, but he is. You see? And this older brother syndrome, if you want to call it that, has really been strong in the church through the centuries. And it's not just, you know, it's a message for us, for those of us who do things right the first time. And it annoys us that some people just waltz in and take all the gifts of the kingdom. Jesus tells another story about people who were hired late in the day. It's in Matthew 20. Man wanted to get his crops in, you know, and so he hired people at first light who were waiting for to be picked up as a worker. And so he says, "I'll pay you a full day's wage. I'll pay you a denarius. And I need all the help I can get." See, he wasn't happening fast enough. So at noon, he went back to the town and he found a couple more people who were there waiting, looking for someone to hire them. And he said, "Come and work for me. I'll pay you a full day's work for the rest of the day." Did the same thing at 5 in the afternoon. "It's not going to happen soon enough. Maybe the rains were coming. I don't know. Come. You guys come. I'll pay you a full day's wage to come." And so he says the workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and this was after the work was all done. They were being paid. The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius, a full day's wage. And when those who came, who were hired first in the morning, they expected to receive more. Oh. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said. "And you have made them equal to us and have borne the burden, equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." And he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" That's a good question. We serve a very generous God. And so Jesus ends this story by saying, "So the last will be first, and the first will be last." Now, there's something about us that says, "Well, I'll just wait till the last then." You see, that's in our nature too. But Jesus tells us to come when we are called. And don't worry about how it all comes out. You see, if you serve the Lord your whole life and somebody, you know, just receives the Lord on their deathbed, you're the one who got to walk with Jesus all your days. You're the one who didn't destroy your body with debauched living and whatever craziness went on in another person's life that they finally had to repent of. You experience God's generosity all the while yourself. And then there's the story of the man who was forgiven much, but who refused to forgive even less from his brother. It's in Matthew chapter 18. And this is the same stuff. This is the Jonah story coming out in the Gospels, really. Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. In other words, way, way beyond the amount of times you could imagine forgiving someone. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he began to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents, which is a huge amount of money, $1 million, say, this person was brought to him, and since he did not have the means to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and his children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. I'm just going to get what I can out of this guy. So the slave fell to the ground, prostrated himself before his Lord, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And his Lord is thinking, he's never going to repay that. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave the debt. Just don't even worry about it. You're free. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, you know, less than a half year's wages. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling, and he went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what he was owed. And that's just a form of extortion, debtor's prison, squeezing your family until they rescue you. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the jailers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. So you see, Jonah's story is a story about us. His story is our story. His struggle is our struggle. When you find yourself angry with people, those people should be destroyed. You may be right. They deserve that. But what did you deserve and what did I deserve before the Lord forgave our debt? In Christ, you have received much. I have received much. You are guaranteed much. And so am I. We are eternal beings because the Holy Spirit has sealed us for eternity. That's a really good gift. They just don't get much better than that. And so, for some reason, we still fixate on our own comfort and our own freedom and our privacy. And we get really upset when someone else tries to take those things away from us. Or we perceive that our situation's not going to be as good. God says, be grateful for the gifts I have given you. Because the gifts that God has given you, those are the only things you're going to take into eternity. All the rest of it is going to go by the wayside. It will drop off. It will be nothing. So enjoy your gifts and share them with others. Come to the party with something for everybody. They need to know Jesus, just like you and I know him, even though they don't deserve him, just like you and I didn't deserve him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for Jonah. Thank you that these people were willing to write down such a story and expose themselves, what was really in their hearts, Lord, help us to be that open as well about the truth about ourselves and how it is you really are saving us to this day. You're saving us from ourselves. And we're just so thankful for that. Thank you for the opportunity to walk with you all the days of our lives. Lord, help us to be really grateful for what we have, for each gift you have given. It is all gift. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name now in the name of Jesus, who gives us the greatest gift of all. Amen.